Hi, I'm Beth.
And I'm Leslie.
Welcome to Quince.
A little sweet.
A little tart.
A little unexpected.
Today is September 15th, 2023.
And we have been a little neglectful, and we're sorry. Life things, operations, physical therapy, and other things have kind of gotten in the way.
Yes. Definitely. We have been very busy.
Yep, but we're glad to be back. And what's been going on in Meadows of Dan?
Well, we had a wonderful hike the other day with the Tuesday morning hiking group. And this is a group of women, as it turns out. I don't think
so far.
I mean, anyone can come, but turns out to be women and their pups.
Yeah, and a lot of Australian Shepherds for some reason.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of fun. And the official name of the group is Mountain Rockers.
Uh-huh.
But it turned out to be the Tuesday morning hiking group, and that's okay. But we have a t-shirt.
Yes. Yes, I saw that t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's cute. Well, and after our walk, we were all standing around the parking lot, and you and I said, we need to do a Quince.
Yes.
So we asked Carol Strickland, we said, hey, just say a word. Was it Carol or Karen?
Karen Reed.
We said, give us a word for us to talk about, because we're not sure what we'll do. And she thought for just a few minutes, and she said, how about parks?
Yeah.
And we're like, great, because there we were standing at Rocky Knob in
the Blue Ridge Parkway
National Park. Mm-hmm. And I was telling someone that, and they're maybe my friend Summer visiting from Florida, and she's like, this is a national park? And I said, it sure is.
It certainly is. It's a unique national park, but it's a national park.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. So anyway, that's what got us on track. But other than that, in Meadows of Dan, just the usual summer tourist.
Yeah, we had our folk fair was really nice. Good turnout and had an amazing Labor Day weekend. Tons and tons of people around.
Yes.
Yeah, it was fun.
Seems busy. We have the new Amish store.
Yeah, and that has been such a godsend. I mean, it is just so nice to be able to, you need something and you just go down the street and there it is.
Ah, I haven't been in yet.
Oh, I bought paint there. So far, I bought several things for the shop that we just kind of needed right then. And we are lucky. Our food market has a lot of odds and ends of hardware stuff too.
Yes.
And it's really rare that I'd need something that they didn't have. But, there's just a more expanded, they didn't have paint. They didn't have a few other things. And so it's been lovely.
Aww.
Yeah, to have that. And I told somebody the other day, I wouldn't, if it wasn't for going down and seeing Dad, I'd never have to leave the mountain.
I don't much anymore.
Yeah. Because we got the great produce market at Poor Farmers Market.
Mm-hmm.
We got great local meat at the food market and stuff like that. And now we have a hardware store.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe once a month I might have to go buy Staples.
It's true. And even as much as we all roll our eyes at the dollar store, having the Family Dollar and the newly renovated Dollar General that has a beautiful produce section.
Oh, really?
They now have.
I haven't been there yet.
You can go in there and buy bib lettuce, a bag of lemons, a bag of avocados.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I
was
impressed.
At the dollar at Lowell Fork?
Yes. Yes, and it's so nicely laid out.
I haven't been there.
I was impressed with a bag of potatoes. I mean, of course, a lot of those things you can get at either market up here, but neither of them have bib lettuce.
No lettuce or anything like that. So, yeah, that's nice.
Yes.
Okay, I'll have to keep that in mind, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're really lucky to have what we have here, to be so rural. And part of it is because of the Blue Ridge Parkway and tourism. Absolutely.
Well, I have been out of town, so this is my time to, I went to Chautauqua up in New York, so was there for a week, and up in West Virginia, my home place, getting out to the cabin, and every year, my visit.
Yeah,
it's good. It's good.
What did you see at Chautauqua this year?
Oh, goodness. The topic was on the Global South, which I really didn't quite know what that meant. But it turns out it's pretty much what we used to call the Third World.
Oh.
So it was just all about it. But it was also the music and the arts, and besides the lectures.
Sure.
And some of the religion and spirituality. But my favorite thing, I think, for the whole week was every morning we have, I guess you call it preaching, but it's a 9:30 service. And this year, for the first time, they had a rabbi as a preacher.
Oh.
This rabbi from California, an older man who was fantastic.
Just
every day there were more and more people in that outdoor auditorium because he was so good.
Interesting.
And my other favorite thing was on one of the afternoons, I went to Church in the Wild. And I didn't realize that is actually a movement that was started a number of years ago, I think by maybe even a Catholic couple. A Quaker couple was running the one that I went to, and we met at an outdoor classroom deep in the woods on the Chautauqua campus. And it just was a marvelous experience for about an hour. Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. So Church of the Wild.
Church of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah. I said, gosh, they even have something for me.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a great experience. I'm glad you get to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And I guess I was pretty tied up since my man fella had a knee replacement, and
being out of town and surgeries, we just haven't been around.
Yes, but I'll tell you, got to give hats off to the VA hospital up in Salem near Roanoke. Just amazing care. And as a nurse, I just seeing what they do and how well they do it, I was impressed.
Well, I've always said Dad wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for that hospital. Because he's a bad diabetic and didn't take care of himself for many, many years. And has problems because of that. They managed to keep him going for a long time. All right, so should we do a little sweet?
A little sweet, yes, and you have something special for us.
Yeah, well, we were talking about national parks, and I was in the shop one day, and this lovely lady came in and was looking for yarns, and we got talking like I do, and she said, I've just gotten this wonderful book that's called Knitting in the National Parks.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, by Nancy Bates, and so, and she was just raving about it. So I got online, and it wasn't an unreasonable price. So I went ahead and bought it. Well, it came in, and it's 63 easy-to-follow designs for beautiful beanies inspired by the U.S. National Parks. But the trouble is, it's like 90% of it's color work.
And what does that mean?
It means you take different colors and make the designs.
Oh.
So you knit the designs into the actual item as you go. So this one is, this is Hot Springs, Arkansas. So it's the marvelous buildings that they have there in the designs. And then there's
those are the beautiful
place, Ohio, and the Virgin Islands, and Congaree, South Carolina, and I might could do this one. It's Acadia. It's just based on birch trees.
Oh, the Maine. Yeah. Maine birch.
Yeah. Tree. But anyway, that was, you know, I went through it and I was really excited, and I looked at every page. They left the Blue Ridge Parkway out.
That happens a lot in these books.
But you know, it's only 60. I don't know how many national parks there are in this country. I have no idea.
I'm not sure either. We best look that up.
Yeah. And, so there's, you know, so there's only 63 here. So there's Sequoia, which I think I've been there.
I have.
Yeah.
In California.
I'm not sure if, yeah. And then there's a whole bunch in Alaska. There's, Katmai, that's Little Bears, and Glacier Bay, and Gates of the Arctic, and Denali, Lake Clark.
Well, and of course, some are national parks, some are national forests, some are national monuments.
Well, this is supposed to be parks. Mm-hmm. The largest of all U.S. national parks.
You know, okay, let's see. While the national park system comprises 423 national park sites, only 63 of them have the national park designation in their names. The other sites fall into different national park system categories, like national historic sites, national monuments, national seashores, national recreation areas, and others.
So what's the Blue Ridge Park?
I don't know, because I always thought it was a national park.
Yeah, I did too. So this is the 63 national parks that are actually called that, I guess, apparently.
I wonder.
So the largest national park is Wrangell St. Elias in Alaska. And that's a pretty hat. That's a very pretty hat.
See, they call national parks in Virginia.
Yeah.
But they bunch them all together. The Appalachian National Scenic Trail, Appomattox Courthouse, Arlington House, Assateague Island National Seashore, Blue Ridge Parkway, Booker T, Washington, Cedar Creek and Belgrove National Historical Park, and Colonial National Historical Park. So they group them all together.
As national parks.
Yes.
But for some reason, they got Great Smoky Mountains here.
Yes.
As a national park. The Grand Canyon. Bryce Canyon, Big Bend, Saguaros, Sequoia, Shenandoah.
Shenandoah is the largest national park in Virginia.
Right, okay. Rocky Mountain, Redwood, Petrified Forest, Yosemite, of course. Mm-hmm. And I have been to so few of these, I'm embarrassed to admit. How few national parks I've ever visited.
Well, you know, I think most people get to the national parks either when they were children, especially our age, age people in their 60s, that parents took them on camping trips, you know, and you pulled the trailer and whatever. That's how I knew a lot of people who saw them. Or else it's when we're retired. You know, our age group and in between, we just didn't get to them.
Well, yeah, I've been to Yosemite. I've been to Rocky Mountain. Sort of been to Great Smokies.
Well, that one's easy to dip into.
And I guess I've sort of been to Shenandoah because I've just been by it.
You lived.
I lived not too far from it. And but that's about it. Oh, New River Gorge. They got New River Gorge and not Blue Ridge Parkway. Oh,
my goodness, and that just happened last year.
That's brand new. Yeah.
Wow.
That's a beautiful place.
Yes, it is.
It's a very pretty place.
I just went through there the other day.
White Sands, New Mexico.
Yes.
So a lot of great places. So anyway, I got this book and I haven't made anything out of it, but one of my cousins by marriage that lives in North Carolina popped into the shop the other day. And she's raving about this book. And she said, I've made half of the hats in it. And she needed some yarn to make one of the hats she was planning to do. And I said, well, what are you making? She said, knitting the National
Park. Oh, wow.
So it's apparently very popular. Nancy Bates is a name I recognize as a knitting author. So the patterns look really well done. They have charts as well as a lot of notes. When you're making a hat, you know, you have to decrease. You have to make it smaller at the top. And so that's where it gets tricky when you're working patterns. But she looks like she's allowed for that to make it a little simpler.
Well, they certainly are beautiful.
They are really, really pretty. And I'm not the best hat maker in the world.
Well, you could start on a couple of those, and I bet by the time you got 63 of them, you'd be darn good.
Yeah, I'd say, well, that's what our cousin's doing. And it also has these little leather patches that you can put on them. I think you can order them from the publisher that tags the hat with the name of the park.
Oh,
so wow. You know which one you've done. I'm pretty sure. Nancy Bates Designs.
Well, if not, that would be a smart thing.
That would be fun to do.
Get a label.
Yeah, to do that. So anyway, the book is easy to find. I can't remember if I ordered it off Amazon or one of the publishers, or I might have ordered it from her website, but... It's not hard to find at all.
Well, so. I am impressed.
Yeah, Knitting the National Parks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
excellent.
What else have we got to say about parks?
Well, let's see here. I, of course, find some national park quotes.
Well, how did national parks start in this country? Do we know that?
Well, we do somewhat. John Muir played a big, big part in that back in the late 1800s.
Yeah.
And I think who he got enthusiastic about it was Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah. And I always connect parks to Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes, yes, those two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Preservation of land for the people.
That's right. Exactly.
Basically.
I just think it is the finest idea that we've ever come up with in this country.
Yeah.
In terms of the money well spent.
Yeah.
Though it seems nowadays that they're just not upkeeping.
No, you know, it's the people's property and the country should be looking after it.
Yes, and I'm not sure how we can go around and get some action on that. Because the people love it. You see all the time on Facebook ads and things like that, National Park games and National Park t-shirts and people love going to them.
Well, the Blue Ridge Parkway is one of the most visited, if not the most visited, national park in the country. Yosemite might be more so. I'm not really sure.
Right. And actually, Glacier is getting up there as being one. And the same with the one in Montana.
The one in Montana. I don't know.
Oh, not Yosemite. What is wrong with my brain?
Yeah. But the thing about it, all during COVID, the parks were absolutely overwhelmed.
Yes.
And there's still a lot of parks that are overwhelmed.
Oh, not Yellowstone. I'm sorry.
Yellowstone, that one.
That one. Yosemite and Yellowstone.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Right. Well... And really in the past couple decades, I mean, if you didn't have a reservation at, you know, the old big hotel at Yellowstone, stay in some of the, or even at the Grand Canyon, certain areas, you know, you've got to plan those trips way ahead in order to even, and sometimes you are in a line of cars where you've got 8 hours to drive around. That says a lot because so many people want to go, but it also makes me not want to go to Zion or Yellowstone even.
Yeah, when you see the lines and lines of cars, that sort of spoils the effect.
Yes. Even the Great Smoky, which also is a very heavily trafficked park.
Yeah, now when you go, but when you look at the Blue Ridge Parkway, when we are, except for October, I mean, there are at least 16 million people go by us every year. You know, we get a pretty good percentage that stop. But when you're on that parkway and you go to Rocky Knob or you go to all the places that there are, it's not crowded.
No.
It doesn't feel crowded. But it's 400 and some odd miles.
Right.
That they're spread out on.
Right. I imagine if you maybe tried to get a room at Pisgah.
Peaks of Odd or
that kind of thing. It might be tough. But other than that, you are so right.
And at Mabry Mill, people line up to eat.
Yes.
You know, but just the recreational parts, the trails and stuff.
Right. When we went hiking with our Tuesday morning group down 5 miles of Rockcastle Gorge, all part of the Blue Ridge, did we even see anybody else?
We saw one
person at the beginning, a friend that we knew walking her dogs.
Yeah.
I don't think we saw anybody until we were almost at the bottom.
Yeah. And then, the week or two before we had gone, three of us had gone from the bottom up. And we did meet a man that my dog tried to bite. But other than that, we've rarely seen anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are still these wild spots.
Yeah, there's still wild spots.
I used to live in Vermont, right across from the Adirondacks, which is also a national park.
Right.
And you could just go over there and get yourself lost. Yes. It was such a relief to get away from the job and whatever and just walk on some of those trails and lakes and it's all ours. That's what you'd say. I didn't pay anybody to come in. No. I know some of the national parks you do. You know, there are a fee and you can get a lifetime.
Or you get a weekend. We used to go up to the Shenandoah or Skyline Drive.
Right. Which is part of Shenandoah.
Yeah. And you do have to pay a fee.
Right.
But it lasts like a week.
Yes.
Or something. But the Blue Ridge Parkway
is free.
It's definitely not limited access down here.
Right.
You know, where we are now, there's a road that goes to, or the driveway goes to the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Right. That's what I tell people when they say, where do you live? And I say, oh, it's this little town, but I can walk to the Blue Ridge Parkway and put my foot on it. It's a mile from my house.
Less than a mile from my house. I grew up watching the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Yes.
You know, in the wintertime, they never used to touch it. They never plowed or anything. No. So we would play on it.
Well, we still do, actually.
Yeah,
I go up and walk if there's a good snow.
Yeah, we would play, there's this hill that kind of, it goes down into the cemetery, the Baptist Church Cemetery that we could slide down with our, pasteboard sleds. We never bought sleds because you never knew if it was going to be snowing. But we use a pasteboard box and go down, you know, just right off the side of the parkway. Now, the parkway story, it started, the Blue Ridge Parkway was built in the 30s. Part of it was Sylvanian Conservation Corps, which we've talked about. Major construction companies actually built the parkway. But my dad remembers times when there were very, very few travelers. You know, it took a while to catch on.
Mm-hmm.
But motorized vacations weren't a thing until probably maybe a half a generation before us.
Right, right, in the 50s.
Yeah. When people started having, you see the station wagon parked on the side of the road and having their meal, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But Dad does remember selling chicken pens to people on the parkway.
Oh, wow.
In the fall.
Yes,
There was enough traffic for them to do that. I bet your dad did that too, didn't he? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, besides the Blue Ridge Parkway, which of course we love so much, do you have a favorite where you've been before?
Well, I guess it'd have to be Yosemite.
Yes.
Several years ago, while our friends Peter and Kathleen were still living in San Francisco, they gave me the opportunity to come out, and Kathleen was there working on a project or getting things organized for them to move east. And so they let me come in. I stayed for 2 weeks. It was the best vacation I ever had, the cheapest vacation I ever had. And she rented a car, and I paid for the gas, and we took off up into the, we went to Yosemite, and my uncle happened to be in California at the time at Juneau Lake, I think was the place he was working. They were nomads. They went from campground to campground, and he was the maintenance man, and my aunt was ran the store or whatever. She's a very personable, lovely person, and so she was like the front person, and Dad and Terry was out doing all the maintenance stuff, and they were up there.
Oh, living the dream.
It wasn't wonderful. And that's when I discovered that my uncle likes me, sort of. Because they were really pleased to see us.
Oh, you know.
It was really funny. And so, but that was an amazing place to visit. The scenery was unreal. And we did go to the lodge just so I could see it.
Right.
Didn't have any plans to stay there. And that was really something.
Well, actually, I have a similar story going to Sequoia.
Mm-hmm.
We had taken the train. I had gone with my friend John Reynolds. We had taken the train across America and went up to California. And his brother's family had, through marriage, had been grandfathered in and able to keep a cabin up on top in a little community called Mineral King, which is right there in the middle of Sequoia, way up 8,000 feet. We got to go up and spend the weekend there in the midst of that. There was even a little post office and everything up there, but probably there were maybe 10 cabins. And there was a campground, national park, just a small campground, because 8,000 feet up on a little, mostly dirt road to get to the top. But those trees, those mountains, I had never experienced anything like that. It was wonderful.
Well, Kathleen took me to one of those. I don't know if it was Sequoia or Redwood. I can't remember, but she did take. I saw a lot.
Yeah.
You know, we got to see things that attached to Mark Twain and things attached to different authors. And it was a super cool. We did go to some kind of tower that had CCC artwork.
Oh, wow.
That was just amazing.
Mm.
And she could tell you exactly where it was, but it was in San Francisco. But the artwork in San Francisco was just amazing anyway, everywhere.
Well, and we forget that some national parks are in cities.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Statue of Liberty is a national park, and the land that it sits on. In fact, we were talking about this earlier, that one of our favorite authors, if you're a mystery reader, is Nevada Barr.
Mm-hmm.
Or Nevada Barr, I'm not sure how she says her name. But one of all her books take place in a national park, and a law enforcement ranger named Anna Pigeon is her main character, and she gets sent to these parks and always these really big, whether it's a murder or a kidnapping or a fire or, I mean, they're very exciting books and well done. But one of them is called Liberty Falling, which is at the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island National Monuments in New York City. So, yeah, sometimes we forget. Another one that is a lot like the Blue Ridge Parkway is the Natchez Trace.
Yeah.
And I have been on that one, too. Yeah. And that goes through Mississippi. And I'll tell you, our Blue Ridge Parkway has it beat. You know, because we have these beautiful vistas. And the Natchez Trace just sort of goes through the Pine Barren type. Yeah. It was a bit of a long trip. Mm-hmm. I think one of my other favorite national parks is Acadia in Maine.
Oh, I've been there.
It is.
And that wasn't in here. Oh, yeah, it is in here. Acadia.
Cadillac Mountain.
Yeah.
It is just beautiful. Yeah, in fact, my sister and her husband were there, but with the hurricane that was hitting tonight, they moved in-state Maine about 100 miles until it blows over.
Yeah. Well, a new West Virginia National Park is New River Gorge.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. It hasn't been very long at all. Do they still have the that festival where you jump off the bridge?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I believe it's the third Saturday in October every year. It's one of those Saturdays where they just shut the bridge down. You can walk across it. You can sign up to bungee jump. You get a lot.
When I was
people.
A kid, my grandmother lived in Beckley.
Yes.
And so that was one of the things we do when we went to visit her. We'd drive up and see how far they'd gotten on that bridge. There's a little road that goes down.
Oh, that used to be how you had to do it.
That was the road.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the road. So we go down and you could look up. Well, a friend of mine and I were there for a fiber retreat a few years ago. And we had some extra time. And I said, let's see if we can find that road. Sure enough, we found the road. And I got some really great pictures of the bridge. Mm. We went all the way down. And then there was this little tiny, teeny tiny little beat up bridge across.
That's right.
went across and went back on up.
That's how we always used to have to do it.
Yes. I don't remember us ever going all the way down when we went with Dad. I think we'd just go down part of the way and so we could look at the pylons and what they were doing.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever making the whole trip.
Amtrak goes under that bridge.
Yeah, there was
if
a
you're going
train
between
track.
DC and Chicago, going to go under that bridge.
So that was a bit of an adventure. That was before it was a national park.
Right. Oh, yes.
That's not been that long.
It's been a national something or other because they've had the station where you could stop and tour and whatever.
But I thought it was a state park because the place we stay is sort of like it's not.
Well, that's Hawk's Nest State Park where you stay, which is right up the road.
Yeah, Hawk's Nest is where we were staying. So I always just assumed the whole thing was the state park. But so it's very cool. And everybody in this country is within reach of some kind of park, I would think.
That's right. With 423 of them. and 50 states. Yes, I'm sure a lot are in certain states.
Yeah. Well, they say there are a whole lot in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, the western states are large, a lot of them. But still, there ought to be a park within reach of most people.
Yeah, I mean, you take Isle Royal on Lake Superior. That was one of Nevada Barr's really good, good books. In fact, I think she wrote two that took place in that particular national park. But ones that we don't necessarily know, the Cumberland Island National Seashore of the coast of Georgia. You know, just everywhere you turn. I love Assateague as a national seashore. We used to pay like something like $10 to camp in their campground, and it was cold water, and but the wild ponies would just come walking by your tent. That was really fun.
And of course, Hawaii has national parks too.
Oh yes, Big Bend. That's a nice one.
Yeah, Death Valley.
Yes,
is a national park.
Yeah.
And that hat looks pretty easy. It is white.
White sands, yes. Yeah. So, but I just think that we need to do more conservation with the national parks.
We need some, the parks need funding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody ought to write their congressman.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important enough that it needs to be a focal point.
Yeah.
And people do tend to just sort of put it under the tablecloth.
Out of sight, out of mind. I don't know, but with so many people visiting so many places in the last few years, it doesn't make sense to just let them run down.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. Because we've got two. We've got Mabry Mill, which is a huge attraction.
Yes.
But 2 miles up the road, they used to have these cabins that were very popular, but they can't rent them. But I looked into it, and it would be really complicated to do and make it work.
Right. Maybe, I don't know, whoever runs the VA ought to get a hold of it or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that might be a silly thing to say.
But
not necessarily who runs the Postal Service, right? I mean, what?
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's a boss of the National Park Service.
Oh, there are. Oh,
but
yes.
The people that need to fund it is Congress.
And this is something we all know, people who have worked for the National Park Service, since it's right here, and they will tell you how many layers you have to go through to get anything done. I mean, it's very bureaucratic.
It's very complicated. You can't just do something.
Right.
I'm sure.
Right. And
things get done eventually. You know, the mill has lost its wheel 4 or 5 times in my lifetime.
Right.
And they always fix it. Sometimes it takes a while, but but they always fix it, and I know they've re-roofed it at least twice since I've been in my memory.
Mm-hmm. But it's good. It's been a good employer for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
In this country. And now there's only very limited full-time.
Yeah.
And then they have their seasonal workers, and now they just are taking just hourly people. They get off the street, and they don't train them to become park employees. And you need pride. You need to be
absolutely
known as a park worker. When I was a little child, I can remember going to the West Virginia state parks and thinking, I would love to work at the West Virginia state parks as a career. And for years I thought that would be a wonderful job.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, you know, the pride of it. And I think a lot of young people have been junior rangers, and you know.
Sure. Well, back then there was the time when that was a big deal.
And it should be again.
Yeah. And one thing I have noticed in recent years is the park workers used to be very visible.
Yes.
You know, we used to see people in uniform a lot in town.
Yes.
And we don't anymore.
No. No, that's...
We really don't see that many.
Because they just hire seasonal people.
Yeah.
So maybe that is something that could be done. These programs where they want people to pay back college loans or whatever,
right.
And they go and work for AmeriCorps doing teaching, or they go and work on reservations or do that. Maybe
add
they need
service.
To add the park service to that, and or if people don't want to do 2 years of military service or Peace Corps or whatever, they could do 2 years of park service.
Yeah.
We could get a lot done.
Yeah, and make people value what they have.
Yes.
You know, I don't know, like I say, 16 million people come through here now. That's how many people come down the parkway every year. It used to be 24 million. When I came back here in 1990, that was the numbers that they would tell us, because we would get the reports were available at the time of how many. So that, you know, it's dropped that much in this many years. But so the public needs to be invested just as much as the as Congress or whatever.
Yes. Well, and I think by doing venues like the Music Center brings a lot of people. And of course, those are counted in those numbers.
Oh, absolutely.
People who just maybe even go those 10 miles from Fancy Gap to the Music Center.
But they're visitors.
And they're visitors. And, and that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll probably get counted every time I go to Floyd. But
Right. Yes. Yeah, the fact that we use it.
Yeah, you know, but still, you know, that's still a drop in the bucket of 16 million.
Right, right.
Visitors. So.
Yes. Well, this has been so much fun.
Yeah,
I love this topic.
Think about your national parks near you.
Yes.
And support them. And if you're not happy with what's going on, make some noise. Because the squeaky wheel.
That's right. And read some Nevada Bar books.
Oh, read Nevada Bar. And if you're interested in knitting the national parks, by Nancy Bates has a fun book with beautiful colors, and we'll put some links to all this stuff around on our show notes that can be found at www.quincepodcast.com. You can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and probably a bunch of other places now, because it kind of just gets distributed without me really knowing what's going on, but that's okay.
It's exciting. Thank you all for listening.
And we'll try to be back in a couple of weeks.
Bye.